KZR, KK4JBQ. Good evening, Tom.
Oh, how are you doing today? Bernice and I are just sitting down here, and I'm running a little Morse code, very little. Not much on, and she's watching the FBI over here, and she should tell you hi.
Interesting. I didn't know they were still airing, or where they were still airing the FBI. Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. I thought he was a good actor. My dad loved that show.
I do too, and it's on every day on 16 dash, what is it, Bernice? It's either 16.8 or 16.10, which is, one of them's this TV and the other one, I don't know what it is. You just hit guide and it'll pop up, but they run it one after another, Larry. However, these are the modern ones, and she likes it. I'm sitting over here doing other things, but she's working on a gown for a pageant for a friend of my daughter's and a friend of ours down in the south part of Greer. I like to see sequins over there. Beautiful gown, beautiful daughter, and Bernice is altering it for him. And this newer FBI, it's pretty good. Imitator too. The old one's the best one, I think.
Fortunate, those of us who were brought up in the infancy of television. black and white was a little tedious, and analog television was, oh my goodness. I truly think, Tom, that when I was a child, I was my dad's remote control. Well, a lot of children were, of course. But when the TV set picture began to roll vertically, I believe that's the horizontal hold. It relies on a tube. And my dad, I think in my recollection, he had that tube replaced three times before he replaced the set altogether. But in the meantime, I sat close enough to the television to keep a hold on the control that regulated the horizontal hold. And I would twist it this way and twist it that way to keep it wrangled in, you know? I sat way too close to the television for many years. KK4JBQ.
LTR, yes, me too. I was sitting in front of the TV sick the morning John F. Kennedy was assassinated. I'll never forget that as long as I live. And what a shame. But you could see the lines going across the vacuum tubes, the picture tubes, and they were lined with rare earth phosphorus. And I did some work on them, Larry, years and years and years ago. And the tube had a vacuum on it such that, you know, people worried about it blowing up if you threw a brick at it and that, like it showed on TV, but it wouldn't. It'd go out the back. We grabbed a little notch in between all the pins on the back, break it off, and it'd go whoosh, and just suck air. That was the only safe way to disable it. But yeah, the horizontal frequency was 15,750 cycles per second, and the vertical frequency was 60 cycles per second, and it was interlaced scanning at 30 frames per second, I think, so that your eyes and your brain perceive it as motion. Yeah, I remember that horizontal oscillator tube, and there was a horizontal damper tube and a flyback transformer. I'm picking my brain, Larry, from many years ago.
It's not anything I would bring back. Today I'm watching television on a larger screen than we ever imagined when I was a child. And the thing that, though, that is most impressive to me is the increased resolution from analog television to digital television. And this is, you can observe this today. I'm recording now several episodes of a series that aired in the 90s before, you remember, there was a time when analog signals were going to disappear and everybody ran out and got a digital set, those that could, and screamed to high heaven that they were being forced to do that. Well, of course, I think progress sometimes involves legislated obsolescence. And that's what we got. But watching some of those shows that were recorded back in the late 80s, early 90s, still airing in some places, I'm spoiled, I suppose. I'm just spoiled to watch those and criticize every little thing. Oh, we are, yeah, I tell Donna from time to time, I says, you know, among all of God's creatures, we are the easiest to spoil. Truly. You know, stand up and admit it. We are the easiest creature to spoil. And I try my best to stay on the reasonable side of being spoiled. Some people would call that conservative. I think it's more drastic than that. I try not to spoil myself. KK4JBQ.
Oh, I got a headset plugged in now, so I don't bother Bernice. I think you got that right, Larry. The digital signal is much better, and they could cram more channels in there as the reason they've done it. And I remember when they changed the antenna out on Channel 7 back in KOAM-TV back in Pittsburgh, Kansas. And I talked to one of my friends who was a ham radio operator, W0TTF, and he was also the head engineer out there. And my instructor in college was a repairman out there, Jack Buffington, and a brilliant man. I'll never forget him. And he got early on stage Alzheimer's, like 58. He taught my children mathematics, physics, and stuff like that in high school, as well as he took me out to the TV station and one night, and he was working on the commercial thing. I've got to get used to this headset. And the commercials, Larry, were on 2-inch wide videotape, and they were in cassettes, much like a video cassette, only huge. And when it come time for a commercial, this machine reminded you of something that was in a manufacturing facility. You hear this clacking and moving, and the conveyor moved that tape over and stick that tape in, and when it was the commercial was over, it'd pull that tape out and stick another one in. Remember when they used to say, okay, we're coming up, for a break now, and we'll fade to black, and then they'd go ahead and play the commercial. Well, that's how it did it. I'll never forget that.
It really is. And it reminds me of a night that I spent in a radio station with a friend of mine. He was the DJ, the overnight DJ. And he said, you're welcome to come sit in the studio, sit in the control room, whatever, and see how the sausage is made. I think that's the phrase he used. And it was fascinating. This was Oh, goodness. It had to be the 70s. And so everything was analog. And and one person ran the whole station. Now, there may have been some engineers there or on call. I don't know. But I didn't see anybody else in the building. It was our local station, WKIN. There in my hometown in Kingsport. Goodness, his name doesn't come to mind. It may before I stop talking about it. I got sleepy. He had plenty of coffee brewed. I wasn't too much of a fan of coffee back then. And I certainly don't drink coffee for its stimulating side effect, because it doesn't. To me, the coffee and caffeine doesn't do what it does to other people. I drink coffee for the flavor. And by the way, I can't drink tea. That molecule of caffeine is structured different than the caffeine in coffee. I can drink half a cup of tea and be wired all day. I mean, it's like, it's something I can't control, something I can't stop. It's a jitteriness, you know, aggravating kind of jitteriness. So I stay away from tea. Donna can drink that all day long. She won't touch coffee. We're made differently. It's, you know, it was God's plan. KK4JPQ.
TR. Well, this headset's strange. It's a pair of Kenwood headsets, and I really like it. Boy, you're just as clear as a bell in here, Larry. Yeah, I remember when they changed that antenna on the tower out there. Our repeater for many, many, many years was the best one in southeast Kansas, and it was up 880 feet. And I remember that one time they was asking volunteers to climb the tower. Like a fool, I volunteered. But another guy was a professional, and he beat me out. I'm glad he did, because I saw videos of it, and they had to run rope up there to the 880 feet level and pull up parts to him up that way. And oh, it's incredible. And the tower, I think, was around 1100 feet. And when they changed to that distal antenna, it looked more like a probe. But the other antenna that was on top of there, Jack was telling me about it, or W0TTF was telling me about it. And I forget how many tons that antenna on top was, a traveling wave tube. And it was many, many tons, and was sitting up there at 1,100 feet. Can you imagine trying to get that thing down and put that other one up there?
No, I cannot imagine that. Really. I'm just trying to imagine. I mean, I can't imagine my physical body being up that high, but this very heavy thing perched on the top of something that far above the ground. I'm trying to remember my physics, what the period of motion would be, and in a 20-mile-an-hour wind, and you know it's going to be greater than that from time to time. The sheer forces would be just incredible. Human beings are pretty smart, Tom. They really are. I admire many whose inclinations have taken them on paths that I can only imagine. The whole, you know, the large thing, not the details, of course. And an antenna tower is one of them. I've been on the roof here. I don't know. I think that's about as high as I've ever been while still standing on my feet. I feel comfortable. Well, not anymore. I haven't flown in, oh, goodness, 25 years, maybe. Donna and I have taken one vacation since we were married. That was somewhere between, you know, D-Day and 5 years. And I swore off of it. And not because I had any fear of the heights of being in a plane. I'm quite comfortable in a plane, in an airplane. It's the complexity of the whole thing these days, especially these days. I have to be careful. I can go off on tangents, Tom, and my hand absolutely gets exhausted from holding this button down. And that's not fair to you. KK4 of JVQ.
GR. Oh, no. I'm the same way. I had a nurse tell me one day I'm a talker, and I guess that's the truth. But I love people, and I love to talk to them. Well, I'm looking at a picture of me up here with my hand on the side of an S2D or E Grumman sitting down on the Yorktown, and that's what I flew off a carrier in. And I loved it. It was a lot of fun, but then I transferred out to duty with my brother, and I flew in the P3 Orions, and I got a picture of me up there standing next to the Orion. It's the one they worked down at Donaldson, four-engine turboprop. And our job was basically to kill Russian submarines, mostly in maritime reconnaissance. But it was quite a hoot, and I always loved to fly. I've flown in paragliders, everything but a biplane, and I've thought about it. You can go ride the biplane down here at the Greenville Airport, but I'll tell you, it's rather pricey. I looked several years ago, it was like $400. And the flight don't last that long, but radio engines are extremely expensive, Larry, to repair, and so I can understand why it'd be so high. But I was going to tell you, when I went through that back on the TV station thing, they took me through the studio and all that, and it looked to me like above my head was like 6-inch copper pipes, and they said that's where the RF fed out to that huge antenna out there, and I don't know what ran up the tower. I don't think that did, but had to be some awful big heliacs. shoot. But, Larry, I worked up to 65 feet in the air for 32 years. And then after that, I worked off and on up high at the wheel plant. Not too often there, but most every day I worked 20 foot off the floor back by those 1,100-degree ovens when I worked at the wheel plant for a year. And then I went to the machine shop and worked on a helium leak detector for aluminum wheels. And I've seen quite a few things over the years. I'll tell you, I'm just getting old. Oh, there's a signal coming on there that let me listen. And that was Madeira Island on 160 meters. I worked him a while ago, but I could barely perceive him. I couldn't hardly hear him whatsoever. But he heard me, so he's got great ears, Larry. KB4JBQ in 0TR.
That is so fascinating. I've had this desire to pick up CW. And it's learning a new language, and for me, I've always understood that languages are hard. For me, I don't know any language except my own. I've spent most of the energy on communications in studying my own language, and I took a class in CW, and I did not do well. I think it's persistence that I was lacking. I think that's the key. I hear that without fail. I hear that in every method to learn this, as one might learn another language, to practice, without fail, practice. And of course that's true. I think modern life so stimulates me that I'm going, as my mother used to say, from pillar to post. That was a phrase she used quite often. She never explained it. If you understand what that means, I can see somebody going from one place to the other all the time. And maybe that's all it means. My brain is just firing off all the time, and I don't study well. I can pick up things very quickly, but to bear down and in a consistent way study something, you know, I might say severely. Well, I guess it's maybe I'm just not made for it. I don't know, but I sure admire people that can. That can catch on so quickly. Maybe I just started studying, I don't know what, 40 years too late? you and I are near contemporaries, Tom. I think you might be a year or two older. I'll be turning 73 this year. And I don't find learning things as easy as I once did. That's no surprise to me, but, you know, it's a fact. It's one of life's facts. KK4JPQ.
GR, let me turn this HF down. I was trying to pick up one in Spain, which I don't need. But, Larry, I find the same thing with me. And it would be really hard to start out and learn anymore. And the desire, I always said, if you get too old to learn, it's time to croak. And I don't really mean that per se, but I find some of the idiosyncrasies and the finer things. I get really aggravated at these menu-driven things on the radios and that, but with reference to CW, I always tell people it's just elbow grease. I'm really proud of Shane. He stuck with it, and, you know, that man's got a hard job and is up all hours of the night. But he's doing really good, and there's a few that'll still take the time to do it rather than get a keyboard and a decoder. And there's a lot of pride in knowing it, but gee, many, you wouldn't believe how many people still do it. The other night, 160 is a band that I never found even that interesting. But boy, when a contest comes up, my band scope's 27 inches wide, and there was a pip on it every few cycles all the way across, just saturated. Unreal how many people still do it. Now, some of them are sitting there pushing the button, I'll grant you. I don't do that. I do it by hand. And if they have a de-expedition, it's a mess. And I hear things on there I've never heard for many, many, many years. The old hams and that, you never heard them intentionally to RMing, and you never heard them using foul language. It was a gentleman's band, the CW was. Now, sideband, yeah, you heard that. But now you're starting to hear it on CW. I don't know what Gen Z means, but if it's the younger generation, I'd have to say, you know, what you sow, so shall you reap. And they messed everything else up, so why not that? But it is something like language. I feel like it's like, remember the secret code ring and back in the old days in the cereal boxes, Larry?
Remember the, oh, what were they called? There was a word that was used commonly for, you mail away 20 cereal box tops. you know, the promotional items, but there was a common word used, and it's not coming to me. For those things, I remember, I loved the program Lassie, you know, Timmy and his dog Lassie. I loved that. And so I found that I could collect cereal top boxes, cereal box tops, I should say, and sent away, and they sent me back a wallet that had Lassie on the wallet, and it was textured so that it was a little bit like dog's fur. And I just loved that thing. And I carried it around all the time. I never had any money to put in it, but I carried it around all the time. And when I felt a little down, you might say, I would just pet Lassie right there on the cover of that wallet. Now, you and me and nobody else living, I think, knows that. Just because it hasn't come up, you know, and I haven't thought about it in decades, many decades. My Lassie wallet. Yeah. We like what we're accustomed to. And what pleases us, of course. New generations of humans were going to be different. I suppose we all should have expected that. I did not expect the very quick decline in things like civility and common and discernment. If you understand the meaning of the word discernment, I don't think human beings put much energy into discerning what's right and wrong anymore. Personal opinion. KK4JBQ.
This is NGLTR. If I was to grade you on that, and with respect to your beliefs and my beliefs, I'd have to give you a 10. And because that's exactly the way I feel. It's a shame these kids couldn't have lived part of their life, at least like ours, when we were younger. But I think you'd love over-the-air TV. Channel 4-4 Story TV. Oh, my. You go nuts over that. And the things they cover are incredible, from the times of Christ all the way through, you know, the most modern things. It's a great channel. And then, like they play, now they're playing the Long Ranger every day. I listen to Gunsmoke every day at 1 o'clock on Channel 4-2. Every day I look forward to Gunsmoke, because it's not one of these blast-em-up, gut-wrenching, blow-em-up, bloody things. It's got morals to it, and there's always a story behind it. And I just love the compassion in that of mankind, I guess you'd say. And I love some of the actors in it, you know, Festus and Matt and Kitty and Doc and whatnot, and the other old boy, who always turned out to be a famous movie star, that ran the stable over there, you know, and made the horseshoes and all of that stuff. What am I trying to say? But at any rate, the blacksmith. And I've seen them all. I bought every videotape of it there was, or it was CDs. I just throwed them away when I found a new friend in Chad, and he would have loved to have those for up at the deer camp. And I just tossed them out. And I had 20 years of them, Larry. If you can believe that. I think I gave $100 for them years ago. And that was a lot. But I really, really enjoy it. So even though we've seen them, Bernice and I still sit there and drink a cup of coffee and eat a donut or something at 1 o'clock on Saturday. But they have so many nice shows on there. It's incredible. Also, if you got a Samsung TV, you get Samsung Plus on it. It's free. Don't cost anything. And we like to watch Ice Road Truckers and Mountain Man and Life Below Zero and things like that. And then some of the more technical shows like Modern Marvels and that. And you just get a little antenna around here. You don't have to put one outside because the signal strength of the digital is so much stronger. And we got like 50 channels. A lot of them right here locally. They have repeaters that repeat them, Larry. I think you'd really enjoy it.
I'll look into that. I'm not sure. Well, I can tell you this. The television that we have is over my head. It's going to be when we replaced it, the previous one. That I thought was enough. But this new television, the interface is terribly complicated. The remotes that I have for the recorder, the television itself, and the sound system that all of this is plugged into, there are four remotes that I juggle. Now, years ago, this has been a long time coming, yes. Years ago, I had, forget the name of the remote now. It was very, I think the name was Harmony. That would make sense. It was one remote that could be programmed itself from the remotes that you were going to, that came with your equipment. And you were able then to use the one remote. Maybe Logitech. I think it was Logitech that made this. Harmony. I really like that one. And now I'm back to juggling four remotes again. Anyway, wiring this all together, it took me all of 3 days. I wouldn't let it beat me. I would not. I would plan the whole thing. Put the wiring all out. There's a quarter of a mile of wiring that connects everything. And it's interfaces that I know how to plug it in, but I don't really know what it's doing, you know? The DVI interfaces and the HDMI interfaces and all that. I know what they're doing, but if anything were to go wrong, I couldn't fix it, you know? It's working. It has worked for a little over a year now, and we're happy with it. Donna is extremely happy with it. It's a big screen, but it's not terribly big. We are not 8 feet away from the television. Can't be more than that because I think the width of this room is like 12 feet, right? So you're sitting in a piece of furniture, which puts you closer to the television. The television itself is in a cabinet or sitting on a cabinet. And that brings it closer to you. So, well, your peripheral vision is only so much by so much. I have extreme peripheral vision. I can see maybe 130 degrees to the peripherals on either side. And my optometrist told me once upon a time, he says, "You have the greatest peripheral vision I've ever known, ever seen anybody have." I don't know, but just a gift, I guess. So I can look straight on, and Donna is constantly moving her head to see one side of the screen and the other, if you know, can envision that. It uses a cable input, and I'm not sure quite how to wire up an over-the-air antenna, and for that matter, how to switch between them. But I will look into that, because as you say, that's right in the air, and you can just grab it out of there with an antenna. That is marvelous. I always thought that was marvelous. KK4JBQ.
Well, I think all you have to do is hit the source button and choose TV, and turn that CW down. My head wants to copy it as well as talk and look at the band school. My daughter says men don't multitask well. She's the engineer, of course. But I think that's all you'd have to do. And as far as plugging it in, there's a jack on the back of your TV for it. It's just a RCA jack, I think. But it's like a cable input to it. But you just select air on your remote. I bought two new remotes today, however, and I know that they can be made to work with our TVs. I like the layout of the buttons better than the new ones that come with this. This one in the basement here is 55-inch, and the one up is 50-inch, because we're closer to it. And the one upstairs is 65, but we're a long ways from it. We're in the kitchen, and you've sat in the kitchen, and it's in the front room where the TV's at. So it's just about right. But I pushed the guide button, and instead of coming up and showing me all the stations that, you know, that you could select from, the guide button was the only button that I pushed that didn't work. And I use that a lot. And I'll select a station or select a station I want to watch, and it'll automatically switch the TV to it. But I'm not going to mess with it. I opened up the instructions to it, Larry, and it looked like about 4 foot wide by 2 foot tall. And the writing was about the size that you get in the normal Chinese instruction book. I could do it, but no. You know, I only give like $10 a piece for them, or I think it turned out to be $14.98. I thought there was $9.98, but I must have looked the wrong tag. It's not the idea of the money. I'll just stick with what I got, because I'm like you. I'm not going to spend hours and hours and hours and maybe mess something up when I can leave it alone. But as far as going over the air, that shouldn't be any problem at all. Just buy an antenna at Walmart and stick it on there. Now, you may not get as many as I got, because I got a big antenna up in the attic. And the one in the attic is a real good channel master one, Larry. Back to you, KB4JV2 in 02.
Now, you've anticipated one important question. The antenna, channel master, is a very good antenna, and where it's located, and you have some height there. I am, you probably heard me say this before, and I apologize, but it fits into the conversation. I'm antenna challenged here. Antennas are illegal in my neighborhood, and we have HOA cops that patrol looking for anything in the air. And you might say, well, that'd be kind of hard, wouldn't it, with big trees here and there and electrical power lines overhead and other things? Well, no. I live in a commune. Now, I know exactly what that meant. I understand what a commune is. They call it a community, but, you know, the root of that is commune. When we bought the house some 23 years ago, we signed what they called at the time covenants and agreements. One of them was that they took care of everything on the outside. Donna loved that. You know, she wouldn't have anything to do with yard work or anything like that. And I knew the time would come when we wouldn't be so able to take care of the property. But I had no idea at the time. I've only been a ham now for like 13, 14 years. So I did not anticipate how difficult it would be to not be able to just put an antenna up, you know? That's frustrating. I must tell you, that's frustrating. Yeah. But as I'm sure, if I can get the antenna pointed in the right direction, height might not be so difficult. If I can rotate it, even by hand, I might be able to be directional with it. Is that correct?
Got one over at the lake house, and you just set it on the table, you know, next to the TV or whatever, wherever you want to stick it. And it's not elevated at all, and they're down in a hole over on Lake Lyman, and it gets a bunch of channels. You just hit the channel scan, and it'll automatically put them into your TV. It's not hard whatsoever. And it's like a USB thing you stick in the back, which I'm sure it's probably HDMI. And then you just select which input you want to pick up on. If the signals are strong, and they are around here, we get over 50 channels. You'll get a great portion of those just off of one of them. One of his looks like a Yagi that must be 12 inches long, and maybe the little, it looks like an outside antenna, only it's miniature. But you don't have to buy one like that at all. You can just buy an amplified one right there at Walmart. I don't think they're very expensive. Or go to Amazon and look for one over-the-air TV antenna. And you set it on a desk, and it's not obtrusive, and it don't look like a Yagi at all. He just had one that did, but he's got one over at the house. And you'd be surprised how many stations he picks up on that thing, and they're down in the south part of Greer. They're kind of down in a hole down there now that I think about it. But the antenna's not elevated at all. I just wanted to be able to get ones up in... getting tired, Larry. I want to say Arlington Dome. Up north, you know, at the big tourist town. And then just reach out within 100 miles and pick up anything. It does a pretty good job. I mean, the picture is digital, and it's gorgeous. And a digital signal, you'll either get it or you won't. There's no halfway, whereas with the analog signals, you could get a fuzzy station, you know. And digital's not that way. You can move my antenna just a little bit and lose one entirely. I got a rotator on it. I haven't used that rotator in probably 4 or 5 years. A little Radio Shack rotator on it. It was a waste of money, because you surely don't need it.
Terribly interesting. And I think I'm gonna run that down. See if it'd be something new and different. Anyway, our television's habits are unusual. I think I don't know. Maybe there's a bunch of people who only watch recorded television. We record everything that we wind up watching. And we don't watch much television, 2 hours a day, perhaps, and that's all in one sitting. We eat one meal a day here, and we watch television during that time. And it's just what has developed over, you know, the last 5 years or so. Don't often go searching for new programming. We watch a few channels, maybe less, with over 300 coming in on the cable, if you want them. We watch maybe five. Those selected five, and the programming that's on there is plenty. But you caused me to remember something else that hadn't gone through my mind in a long time. Once upon a time, my dad had some trouble with the antenna that was on our house back in Kingsport. This is in Tennessee. We were in the mountains, but we were on a road. This should tell you something. We were on a road called Ridgecrest, and it was just that. We were on a ridge, and we were at the top of this ridge. So So this little antenna should have picked up everything that was available, all three channels. You know, back then, Tom, and you're aware of this, and other people would say, now, what are you talking about? We had ABC, NBC, CBS. And then there was the UHF channel that came in on the tail end of that experience, my living at home, you know. There was a UHF channel that came on board, and we had four stations. And plenty to watch. Anyway, Dad has some trouble. And if I knew then what I know now about receiving antennas, I think we could have had anything we wanted. He took twin lead, 300 ohm twin lead, and just ran it right on the shingles of the house. And then when it came time to come down to the first level, you know, this was up in the attic level. When it came down, he would run it down over the gutter, you know. And you know what that does. But I didn't know then. It just fascinates me. Antennas have always fascinated me from that moment forward, I suppose. And I've learned the most about it in the last 10 years. Used to be that I would go to, when I was a member of, a participating member of the Blue Ridge Club, I would go to testing sessions and help out the VEs if I could, and I found that a fascinating experience. And one thing that continued to impress me was the questions that new hams would have. Invariably, they'd say, well, what radio should I get? Where should I start? Today, if it was me saying that today, I'd say, start with understanding the antenna and put, if you're going to buy an antenna, if that's how you feel you have to do it, then spend 3/4 of your funds on the antenna and 1/4 on the radio. I don't know. You may think differently about that, but I do think of an antenna needs everything. It's probably because I'm so restricted here, and putting a wire in the air, since there's no overhead wiring at all. All the utilities are underground, and there's no tall trees. You know, there are no real mature trees here, so it's very obvious if you have anything in the air. I'm rambling now. KK4JPQ.
Okay. Hi, Shane. Well, I took my call out there a while ago, and you didn't answer, so by golly, I got Larry. Good evening. Great to hear you. And, Larry, I agree with you. The antenna's as much or more important than the radio, which are a lot of good selections on the radios, too, now. And it brings back old memories. We had Channel 7, ABC, 12 was ABC, and Channel 16 was UHF, and that was Joplin, Missouri, and a Channel 12 station in Joplin. And that's all they still got up there in Pittsburgh, Kansas. Go ahead, Shane, and turn it over to Larry.
Was that LK? Good evening, Tom, and good evening, Larry. I've just been riding down the road listening to you guys. Very much enjoying the conversation. You two are two of my favorite ham radio operators. I love listening to both of you. Larry, I had a little extra piece of cable. I bought one of those over-the-air antennas, and I can't get the Fox 21 antenna, which Tom will know about, because I'm down below the ridge of Caesar's Head, and it blocks me. And I think there's one other one I can't get either. It's ABC, I believe, up in Nashville. But I just had a thought, and I hooked it up to my J-pole. I had a little piece of cable. I put an SO239 on the end of it. And without thinking that, you know, digital antenna, where everybody has to buy a digital antenna, I just thought, well, maybe this will get me up a little bit higher. And which, you know, I didn't get either one of those stations, but I still got perfectly good signals from what I had before, even, you know, with that special digital antenna. So I guess that maybe it's the TV has the capability of interpreting the digital signal. It's not the antenna itself, but the J-pole worked great.
I'm sure you're right in that. Electrons don't know any different. You know, it's the pattern, I'm sure. I've seen some of the digital antennas, and they are some funky patterns. But, that's terribly interesting. Yeah. Oh, Tom has made me think of some things that I hadn't thought of in decades. Being on top of the house with my dad, trying to figure out, he'd take a pair of pliers them out and bite. He'd bite the insulation on both the wires. So I'm doing one and then turn around, do it on the other. And he'd take the pliers and pull it apart. And then he'd take those bare copper wires and run it round and round and round on the antenna connections. And then tighten the screw down. And it would weather, of course. As I said to start this, if I had known then what I know now, how nice an installation I could lead my dad into making. This is just old person talk, I suppose, but the things that you come to realize as you age and mature, it's not intellect. It's not instinct. It's learning. And those are different than the other two. You have to come by it honestly. You know, it has to mean something to you. But without fail, you will regret that you didn't know it sooner. KK4JBQ.
You are. That's the truth, Larry. Mute that, Bernice, would you? Commercials are on. Drugs. I hate those things. 50% of the commercials now are drugs. Anyways, the old 300 ohm twin lead, I remember that well. I'm getting tired and tottery tonight, but guys, I love talking to you guys. The shows that are on the over the air is incredible. I mean, they got I Love Lucy, they got Leave It to Beaver, they got Gunsmoke, they got Baba Black Sheep, they got Tour of Duty, they got 12 O'Clock High. You know, Larry, the old good ones. Back from the old days. 12 O'Clock High era. I like some of them. I can tolerate some of them. I can't because, well, there's just certain things I don't like to see. Being a Vietnam veteran, I've seen some horrors that I don't care to see, so I don't watch MASH, but it's a good show. But I'm not too much on these medical shows. I've been in the hospitals too many times, civilian and military. But I do love the shows, and they're really good. And we love watching a lot of the old shows. And then Channel 21.5 is Grit, and it's all Westerns. And the Tombstone Territory, what else is on there, Bernice? You remember? Bat Masterson, Bonanza, all of those. They're on, you know, all day long, all night long, I guess. But anyways, I hope you can sample that sometime, Larry, and see about getting that over the air. I don't know about your location or how many you'll receive, but I think you get quite a few, don't you, Shane? N4ZLK and 0GR.
ZLK, yeah, just with CBS and NBC, I think there's like 25 or 26 channels. Might be some PBS stations in there. I was just messing around with it. I don't watch a lot of TV. When we do watch stuff, we kind of do like Larry does, only we stream it. You know, we've got some particular shows that we try to keep up with. but it's not very many. Maybe an hour a night or an hour every few nights when I'm home, you know. But I just was, you know, playing around, seeing what I could get, seeing if I could get some of the local, you know, for football and when they're on locally. But just there's all kinds of stuff going on. But, yeah, I love those old Westerns, love the old shows, Bye Bye Black Sheep. That brings back, now, it brings back rerun memories for me. I don't know, maybe reruns for you, too, but watched a lot of those as a kid, a lot of those old shows like that. They were really good. Guys, I've enjoyed it. I've just been driving down the road listening. I heard you throw your call out, Tom, but I was at the building and was getting my trailers ready to go. But I'm just about to cross the state line, and I know I'm going to lose it soon. So I will let you go. I'll listen for a little bit longer, as long as I can. Always enjoy hearing you guys. Hope you have a good evening. Larry, I'll give it to you. N4ZLK73.